January 5th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the 2 Timothy 1st chapter, verse 9. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The Bible says He saved us and He called us. We are here because He called us. So if you think that it is your action and your choice that you believe in Jesus, biblically speaking, it was actually Jesus who called us and invited us first. It was because of His work and not ours. As for me, my sister invited me to come to a Christian camp when I was 16, and that's how I became a Christian. Though I have not thanked her for that, not in person, I am so very grateful for what she did for me. Yes, it was my sister who invited me, but I also believe God was working behind that, and I think the same thing can be said about all of you for you to be here today. It also says that it is for His own purpose and grace. There are only a few Christians in Japan, but God has His purpose to draw us to be Christian in Japan now. At this restaurant that I go often, the customers ring a bell when they have a request. Everyone rings a bell for all sorts of requests, like to clean up the table, to order some more food, or even to close the window because the sun is too bright. But I only ring the bell when I order food because I don't want to abuse that bell. And there are many people who think that God is here to serve us by telling Him all kinds of requests and complaints when He does not meet their demands. But those who work for God's purpose don't have too many troubles, but rather smooth life as he pleases the Lord. But if you treat God like your servant, this person will easily get off the path and might end up in the wrong place. You see some people who go to church and causing troubles in everywhere they go and thinking that God hates him? Because I used to be like that. But when I repented and changed my attitude inside out, I now have a lot less troubles in my life, at least 90% less troubles between me and God, and the remaining 10%, I'm still working on it. So again, it is God who called us, and we have to fulfill His purpose as we answered His calling. If we give Him things that He did not even request, He would not be pleased. Like at a restaurant, one day I order extra large bowl of salmon rice because it was the same price for small and large. So I order large, and I also requested for a newspaper, and the waitress brought small bowl of rice and forgot the newspaper. I did not say anything, but I was very unhappy with the service. The same thing with God. If He is asking for one thing, make sure that we bring what He asks for. The verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The important thing to understand here is that Christ abolished death. So for us, to get old and to die was not a normal thing in the past. As you read in the Genesis, until they ate the fruit, human did not have death. Living the eternal life was the normal thing. I know we are surrounded by death now, and people die every day. Last year alone, many people I know died. But death was not a normal thing till the fall of humanity from God's grace. I know it is hard to understand this intellectually, but we have to understand with our heart. But by coming to Christ, we have received the eternal life. I'm not sure if that becomes a reality in this realm, but in another realm, we will face no death in Christ Jesus. It also says, Jesus Christ brought life and immortality to light. Do you know what immortality is? I looked up the Greek translation, and it means not experience aging. Since you're all young, you do not even think about it, but when you become like my age, I do feel the ailing of my body and not being able to do things that I used to do before. But the Bible says that aging is also abolished, maybe in the heavenly realms. So be hopeful about coming future. Do not be too concerned about your physical body and be fooled by all these anti-aging products. Most of the people are only concerned about the outer appearances, like worried about their graying hair. And I'm not saying that coloring your gray is bad. I myself also bought some hair color product to color my gray, but I misplaced it and I cannot even find it. I lost it even before using it. But I think life is too short, and although we are immortal, the body does age, and we might not be able to do things we are doing now in the future. We might become forgetful, or we might not have energy when we are old. And we all think it is normal, but the Bible says it is not normal since Christ abolished death and gave us immortality. So try to pursue that immortal life in Christ. Try to understand the eternal life in the spirit instead of concerning so much on what you see in the natural. And there's a tennis court near my house, and every time I go for a walk and pray, I walk by there. So for many years I observed the tennis matches, but now I understand the game, and I wanted to play tennis too. But I also realized that I'm too old to play and I didn't want to get injured. And I would never thought the way if I were younger. And I never thought that I would ever reach this age that I feel like I cannot play the physical, I cannot take the physical challenge. But Christ has given us the immortality and the eternal life. So if we can obtain that, it would be foolish not to obtain it. Our Savior Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul became a preacher appointed by God, but the Bible never says that he was very respected and honored when he served the Lord. On the contrary, he says, "For this reason I also suffered these things." This we have to remember when we serve the Lord. We will experience some oppositions, be it church-related or in other areas, and they try to deflate you so that you cannot do the work of the Lord anymore. But Paul says something so hopeful by saying, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Paul says he trusts Jesus. He is certain that Jesus will keep Paul until that day. That day, I think, is the day that we die and be judged. When you go through some hardship by doing the works of the Lord, not everyone may understand you. Not even your Christian friends or even your pastor, but God knows everything, and all the sufferings for the sake of Christ are all recorded in God's heart, so that He can show you His grace and He will keep you as His. Most of the people are only concerned about now, like people's reputation, but we should be looking at Him that day. In human eyes, Paul's life was counted as loss, for he was rejected by the Jews and he was even chained like a criminal. But he was surely blessed by the Lord, and the Lord knows all the works done for the Lord. It is like we're depositing and saving money in the heavenly bank. The verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Keeping the pattern of sound words, which is the basic law, is so important in Christianity. Like learning Japanese calligraphy, we all have to start from the basic, and then by following the model, your skill improves. We have to first follow the model writing and practice. Paul says that we are to follow the model and keep the law. The unfortunate thing about the modern Christianity is that we don't even have any model church or teaching to follow. What stands as a model now is already twisted, like wrong doctrines and about the Great Tribulation and the Catholics saying that there is no hell. Those are the teachings that we should not pass on to the future generations. So when we receive the revelations from the Lord, we cannot alter the message. We have to keep speaking the truth. The verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So we have to protect what God has committed to us. I'm going back to the verse 13 again. It says, sound words. What is sound and what is not sound? When a teaching becomes so extreme, although it might seem to be right, it is usually a twisted doctrine. For example, the Catholics saying that God is love, and he loves us too much to judge people, and he loves us too much to send anyone to hell, so hell cannot exist, they say. That's extreme. A sound teaching should say things like, there are wise virgins and there are foolish ones. A sound teaching would mention both. But Christians nowadays are teaching all can become a bride. That's not very sound, since the Bible says some brides can go to the wedding and some foolish ones cannot. Verse 15, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. As you know, when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Paul was chained and imprisoned like a criminal. And Paul says, all those in Asia have turned away from me. Paul must have been heartbroken, but it does happen and it will happen to all of us. When things are normal, we confess our brotherly love to each other. But when someone is jailed and persecuted for his faith in Christ, many people are afraid to come near the person for the same judgment might fall upon them. It happened in Japan too, during the Second War. Many righteous pastors got imprisoned and all the disciples were scattered. We are all human and we should expect many would leave when that happens to us, but not all will leave. Like Paul says, the household of Onesiphorus, some will stand with you and some will not be afraid of the persecution. It is already happening now. I was watching on YouTube and a pastor in the United States who was saying the Lord's Prayer in public got arrested. There was another one who was protesting against the same-sex marriage and he got arrested. Once arrested, I guess they will be thrown into jail and not sure how long they have to be there, but it is already happening. So we all have to decide how much we can commit to our faith. When we are in danger of being arrested, are we going to leave our faith? Or even if we do not face such danger, how do we relate to those who are persecuted for his faith? Do we cut them off and become a stranger to them? We have to know where we stand and what we believe in. Many people listen to the voice of fear even if they confess to be a Christian. I myself have experience at this church too. When we announced to our congregation that we are changing the direction as a church, many people left. But Paul says a special prayer to those who stayed with him, saying, "The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day." Here, "that day" again is the same "that day" we mentioned before. The day we die, which is inevitable, and the day we receive the judgment from God. The Lord loves those who are loyal to the persecuted ones for his faith in Christ, like the household of Onesiphorus, who looked for Paul in prison and took care of him. But those who leave, the Lord grieves for their decision. People in this world abandon those who are in the center of public criticism. That's the norm. But not in Christianity. We have to serve the one who is suffering for the name of the Lord. So if I get arrested for my faith, not sure if that would ever happen, but I hope you would bring me some food or something. So what the world would do and what the people of God would do is different. Now Paul and his work are highly respected now, but I am sure he had no idea that his letter would become part of the Bible. He was considered outcast of the society. So please do not forget that what's right in the eyes of people and what's right in the eyes of God is very different.